The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The Morning Answer would like to know what you're thinking. Leave us a message at 877-590-5843. That's 877-590-5843.
Hi, this is for the Morning Answer. I don't understand how the teachers can go on strike and leave the kids at home for 3 days. And I know there's remote learning, but when you think of all the poor people who are working two jobs and the kids left to their own devices, and who knows what kind of trouble they can get into. Teachers need to be there doing their job, regardless of what's going on with the service workers union.
It's the Morning Answer.
Amen to that. It is your Morning Answer Friday edition. I'm Jennifer Horn. Grant Stinchfield is out today. Meanwhile, we're holding it down, celebrating the weekend. Next hour, don't forget, our world-famous Friday free-for-all happens at about 8:54, maybe 8:52 today if we're feeling a little wild. We'll start it early. That's when you can complain, compliment, comment, tell us a joke, limericks. The floor is yours. How we start our weekend here on The Morning Answer. Now, I call Scott Wiener, he is a state senator here in California, a Democrat from San Francisco. I call him the purveyor of all bad ideas in the state. And he may have another one for us. This guy comes up with all of them. So he's introduced a bill. He did in December of last year, actually, Senate Bill 58, that would decriminalize plant-based and natural hallucinogens. So magic mushrooms, psychedelic drug DMT, different substances that people take to hallucinate, go out of their mind a little bit. He wants to legalize those. And he's had some success because that bill was just passed by the Senate Public Safety Committee this week, completing its first major hurdle. Now it has to get full support of the Assembly, which no doubt it will. And we're probably on our way to legalize psychedelics. So what do you think about that, Morning Answer listeners? Is this the answer to the problem that will fix California? Because last time I checked, we have, and this is just California's numbers, 170,000 people living on the streets of our state. Many of those people, I would say 90, I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say 95% of those people probably participate in drug use to either because they are an addict or because they are trying to fix a mental disorder. Is it going to make it any easier for us by decriminalizing these mushrooms? Now, I know a lot of people use them for whatever woo-woo psychiatric stuff. Fine. But if we are going to look to fix the homeless problem, we are going to actually have to start enforcing our laws. And if we are starting to take laws off the books, you're not going to be able to fix the problem that is plaguing us. You follow? I don't know how this one makes sense for where we are in California when our really one of our top issues is the homeless crisis. 855-785-8255. This would require that law enforcement would not be able to assess any criminal penalty for possession of any of these substances. It would also remove the ban on the spores that can produce mushrooms and on having drug paraphernalia associated with the drugs. So no crimes, no criminality on any of that. Is this the right step for California? I would say no. 855-785-8255. I know Colorado has gone down this road. And you've seen big cities like Denver and other places in that state really start to have trouble. So is this the right step? Look, this is the place where your libertarianism blends with conservatism. 855-785-8255. We'll talk about that today. Also, President Trump yesterday went golfing. He's got a rally this weekend in Waco, Texas. And, well, what didn't happen yesterday is the grand jury was told to just stay home for day number two in Manhattan. The DA, Alvin Bragg, saying not to come in. Don't bother. He said they'll maybe get back together again next week. This is slowing down the indictment that President Trump predicted would happen on Tuesday. Alvin Bragg with a lot of pressure on his shoulders. We don't know if an indictment is coming or if the reports are true that he's having trouble convincing the grand jury that there is even any crime to indict. Meanwhile, President Trump has been profiting from all of this. He's taken a massive lead in the polls. We talked about a couple yesterday. There's a new one out, the February Premise Poll. Trump is winning against Biden 47% to 41% over Joe Biden. That's pretty incredible in a 2024 presidential rematch. This is among registered voters, by the way. It doesn't include any political preference. And Trump beats Biden 47% to 41%. The poll indicates there's a swing of 8 percentage points towards President Trump. And the poll in February had Trump down 42% against Biden. So in 1 month's time, the swing has been significant. Trump wins 47 to 41, where he was losing 44 to 42 against Biden in February. The majority of Republican and Democrats voted for the candidate that represented their party. 87% of GOP voters for Trump, 75% of Democrats picking Biden. But here's the significant part. Independents, the news media says Trump can't win. 39% back Trump, only 22% went for Biden. Pretty big difference now. He's winning in polls, and this isn't just over his Republican counterparts. This is actually over President Biden himself. And even more significant, nearly half of Hispanic and Latino voters voted for Trump, 49%. The majority of Black voters, they voted for Biden at 61%. Ron DeSantis, who is not yet into the race, but has been talking a lot, we're going to have that for you here in just a few moments, also wins in a hypothetical matchup with Biden, but only by 1 percentage point, showing that his support, Biden's support, is slipping. Trump in the primary field is the clear favorite. He leads DeSantis 56% to 25%, according to this poll, followed by Nikki Haley and Ted Cruz. They each have 5%. And then Mike Pence has 4% behind them. The Real Clear Politics average for a general election between the current and former President Trump indicates Biden has a 1-point lead from January 27th through March 13th. Trump is down 3 percentage points against Biden in a general election face-off in the morning consult poll that came out this week, actually, March 21st. Biden leads Trump 49 to 45%, but Trump picked up about 3% in that poll. So is there a shift in the direction of Donald Trump? Or is Ron DeSantis going to start picking up steam if he keeps talking? It seems the more he talks, however, the more support he is losing, even from prominent people. What do you think? Ron DeSantis this week speaking out to Piers Morgan, were you impressed? Or are you losing faith in Ron DeSantis? It's that age-old question, Trump versus DeSantis or someone else for the Republican ticket. 855-785-8255. 855-785-8255. We'll take your phone calls on that. Plus, what did Ron DeSantis say? He made a major policy change about Russia and Ukraine. I'll tell you why some people are criticizing the governor of Florida today. All as your Friday Morning Answer continues.
The Morning Answer with Jennifer Horn and Grant Stinchfield.
Grant, you're 100% right. I'm a New Yorker, right? Okay.
Yep. You're from New York, Gracie?
Yeah, can't you tell by my wonderful English accent?
It's The Morning Answer.
Oh, we love her. Thanks for joining us on your Friday Morning Answer. I'm Jennifer Horn. Grant Stinchfield is out today enjoying a little vacation. In the meantime, we carry on with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who President Trump likes to call Ron DeSanctimonious. And he sat down did an interview with Piers Morgan. Now, I feel like this is really the first like one-on-one interview we've seen with Ron DeSantis in the context of him potentially jumping in to the presidential race in 2024. And he made some news, you know, earlier in the week, commenting and getting some criticism about not really giving that full-throated support to Donald Trump, not necessarily for who he is or for what he stands for, but as a victim of a system that has been weaponized against him. A lot of people thought that he should have come out and gone a little harder against Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg. But he sits down with Piers Morgan, and that becomes the subject of the first question asked by Piers to Ron DeSantis. Take a listen.
Was I right to feel that there was a slightly censorious tone to that, that kind of thing is just not anything you would ever get involved with?
Well, I think there's a lot of speculation about what the underlying conduct is. That is purported to be it. And, you know, the reality is that's just outside my wheelhouse. I mean, that's just not something that I can speak to. So, you know, I hope it doesn't come to where you end up seeing this going forward. I mean, look, if you are a very strident prosecutor in disguise on the left and you're not prosecuting a lot of crimes, Manhattan's gotten less safe, you're going to go after somebody on the other side for some novel offense. That just does not inspire confidence, and people see that as weaponizing the justice system. So I think it's fundamentally wrong to do that. And, you know, I just made it be known. But who, you know, we'll see. Maybe it won't come to that. I mean, we haven't seen anything firm yet.
So we don't know, and he's right, what's going to happen next in the case in New York. We do believe that, obviously, there's a desire on the left to go after Trump, but DeSantis kind of softens the blow, I think, that he made earlier in the week, saying that he doesn't know what it's like to have this hush money type situation going on, which may be true. But the idea should be about how the government's being weaponized against a political opponent, because that cannot just I mean, that won't just happen to President Trump. That could happen to Ron DeSantis. It could happen to you listening to this program. It could happen to me. And so you really need to stand up against this sort of thing, I think, especially if you want to lead the country. Now, he continued on. Ron DeSantis has spent a lot of his time as governor of Florida to talk about some of the social and cultural issues going on with the left, and particularly the woke left. Take a listen.
You went to Yale and Harvard. Was described as a blue-collar kid from Tampa among the communist millionaires. You said you were the only person to leave either of those places more conservative than you started.
I think so. I mean, you know, I wasn't political when I got there, because where I came from, I didn't know if you were Republican, Democrat. When I got there, you know, you had a lot of militant leftism. One of Yale's mottos is for God, for country, for Yale. But you get in the classroom, no way. I mean, it was very anti-religion, particularly Christianity, and very anti-Americanism, and really adopting a lot of the left-wing mantras of the day. And I kind of rebelled against that, because I'm like, wait a minute, you know, I'm proud to be an American. I wouldn't be here if in any other country, perhaps. And so this is something that I rejected. And then by the time I got to Harvard, I was already set. They weren't going to change me.
What's extraordinary is to watch the way campus sort of ideology is gone. I mean, if it was bad then, it's immeasurably worse now. This woke ideology has got a grip, not just in America, but in the UK and around the world.
It's not good for them, because when they get into the real world, their assumptions have never been questioned. Mm. You should want your assumptions questioned. A university is about pursuing truth. It's about rigor and academic integrity and giving people the foundation so they can think for themselves and be citizens of the republic, not to impose ideology. We want there to be free speech on campus. We want the professors to come from a wide variety of viewpoints. You can't have every professor having the same leftist dogma in the class. That's not good education.
Right. I mean, I lost a job because I disbelieved Meghan Markle.
That is true. Piers did lose a job because of that. Now, one of the places where DeSantis also got a little criticism, and I think, just to be fair, I think this exchange about these culture issues about academia, I think this makes him seem actually pretty likable. He seems to have a good rapport with Piers Morgan. What I don't think is being respected very much is that Ron DeSantis literally last week, said that the war in Ukraine was a territorial dispute. He didn't even call it a war, didn't say that Russia had invaded Ukraine. He said it was a territorial dispute. Well, I don't think that sat well with every piece of the Republican Party. This is the issue that really divides Republicans right now. Should we be involved in Ukraine? Is it a war? Do we need to stop Putin? Or is it a territorial dispute? Should we stay out of it? This is going back and forth. And then there's some people who are sort of in the middle of that. That's kind of where I find myself. But you need to sort of pick a side and be able to justify where you are. DeSantis last week said it's a territorial dispute. This week, to Piers Morgan, he says this.
What's your view of Putin?
Look, I think he's got grand ambitions. I think he's hostile to the United States. But I think the thing that we've seen is he doesn't have the conventional capability to realize his ambitions. And so he's basically a gas station with a bunch of nuclear weapons. And so for us, one of the things we could be doing better is utilizing our own energy resources in the United States. We could be permitting natural gas pipelines from Marcellus, doing a lot in Alaska. That's where he gets all his power, and obviously he's influenced Europe by having so much energy. So the way to hit Putin is to hit him with energy.
Now, I think that's true. We've talked about that a long time. Had we been in a better place with energy, with our gas prices, if Biden hadn't entered office and stopped drilling immediately, we probably wouldn't have even seen Putin invade Ukraine. That's true. But it is a stunning reversal in literally 7 days to go from calling the Russia-Ukraine war a territorial dispute and then saying that Putin is a war criminal and a gas station with nuclear weapons. Anybody else thinks that's quite the reversal on a big deal? This isn't just like, oh, maybe I changed my mind on this one policy. No, this is the story. This is where conservatives are divided up, where differences might be made when they pick a candidate. 855-785-8255. If you saw this interview, if you're hearing it for the first time, how does Ron DeSantis come off to you? Does he sound like Ron DeSanctimonious? Does he sound like someone ready to take on the position of the presidency? And is he just working things out, or is he making some big flip-flop things that may come back to hurt him as a candidate? He has not jumped in yet, but we expect that he will probably sometime in May. Donald Trump saw some of this interview, and he started truthing, which is his version of Twitter. He says, now that Ron DeSanctimonious is finally admitting he's in the race by beginning to fight back, and now that his polls have crashed, so he has no other choice, let me explain the facts. He is, for a Republican, an average governor. He got 1.2 million less votes in Florida than me. He fought for massive cuts in Social Security and Medicare and wanted Social Security minimum age to be raised to 70 or years old or more. He is a disciple of Paul Ryan and did whatever Ryan told him to do. Florida has been successful for many years, long before I put Ron there. It's amazing what Ocean and Sunshine will do. Surprise, Ron was a big lockdown governor on the China virus, sealing all beaches and everything else for an extended period of time, was third worst nation in the nation for COVID-19 deaths, third worst for total number of cases. Other Republican governors did much better than Ron, and because I allowed them this freedom, never closed their states. He said, remember, I left the decision up to the governors for COVID death rates per state. Ron, as governor of Florida, did worse than New York. In education, Florida ranks among the worst in the country. And on crime statistics, Florida ranked third worst in murder, third worst in rape, third worst in aggravated assault. For 2022, Jacksonville was ranked as one of the top 25 major crime states. He continues. Now, the other question for us, and by the way, you know, this is a pretty big statement.
Big league.
I think there is some frustration in the Trump camp that instead of focusing specifically on these ridiculous political persecutions from the left and from our United States government, he's focused on Ron DeSantis. He has to beat Ron DeSantis before he can become the presidential nominee. But should he be running specifically against Biden and forget DeSantis, or are these attacks justified? It's a question for you guys. 855-785-8255. We'll take your calls on that. 855-785-8255. More from DeSantis' interview with Piers Morgan as well as we continue. But first, if you haven't heard, there is a brand new way to deal with joint pain that doesn't require drugs, surgery, or downtime. QC Kinetics, it's here. It has arrived, and it's the nation's leader offering real, lasting, all-natural relief using the latest advances in regenerative medicine, taking highly concentrated healing properties from your own body, then putting it back into your achy joints to restore and repair damaged joint tissue, and it's the natural way. Patients love this. Pro athletes have been doing this for years, and now it is available to you. Imagine this. You're pain-free, living life the way you used to, walking, running, and playing sports. If you have pain from arthritis or injury, steroids and surgery are not your only option. Call and learn more about these remarkable treatments using regenerative medicine. QC Kinetics in Glendale, Orange, and Mission Viejo. Call for a free consultation. 213-997-PAIN. That's 213-997-PAIN. Non-surgical joint pain relief. It has arrived. Call QC Kinetics. 213-997-PAIN. pain. As we continue, we'll hear more from Ron DeSantis and, of course, the ongoing battle between Trump and DeSantis. But our Biden basement briefing is up ahead. And Chairman Joe forgetting the name of one of his key staffers. It's all next as your Friday Morning Answer continues.
The Morning Answer with Jennifer Horn and Grant Stinchfield.
So during Women's History Month, we celebrate and we honor the women who made history throughout history.
It's the Morning Answer.
You know, I was looking at Twitter and Clay Travis had that very clip up from Kamala Harris. And he said that the vice president talks like a high school student trying to meet a word quota in an essay. And I think that's absolutely right. Welcome back. It is your Friday Morning Answer. I'm Jennifer Horn. Grant Stinchfield is out today. Oh, but fear not, because every day at this time, we still go to that old Biden basement briefing.
This is the daily Biden basement briefing.
Come on. Whoa, 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 whoa. Come on.
Yeah, one final question, right.
Come on, man.
Hey, look, wait, hold on a second, please.
Come on, man.
All right, it is the Biden basement briefing, and front and center, we start with Joe Biden, by the way, who has a little bit of trouble coming up. There's a report out from our friends at Red State that say that Hunter had a contact, like an insider within the FBI that was keeping an eye on the investigations for him. This is a huge one. In addition, Tara Reid, who accused Biden of sexual assault, is now going to testify before Congress. So two terrible things to start off the Biden basement briefing. But what brings it back to happiness quicker than babies? Yesterday, with President Biden, he made a speech. Baby made a little noise, a little cooing in the crowd. And this is what he had to say.
Drug companies that raise prices faster than inflation. Now, that's all right. We like babies. You don't have to worry about it. So it's okay. It's all right. Matter of fact, I like babies better than people.
And they can share food, too. They both can have applesauce and steamed peas. It's all very nice. He has a lot in common with those babies. The president yesterday went to Canada after speaking at the White House, or excuse me, not to Canada, but he had a meeting with Justin Trudeau, the prime minister. They came up with an agreement on immigration at our northern border, because that has now become a problem, just like immigration at our southern border. But Justin Trudeau and Joe Biden striking a deal about returning people to their home country if they're trying to sneak into the United States through the Canada-United States border. Now, during this time at the White House yesterday, it happened again. Remember all of those people out there? And because she's from California, you've heard this before. People say it's racist when people like mispronounce the vice president's name. It's Kamala Harris. But a lot of people say it in different ways. It's a little tricky name. It's not the most common name. And anytime it gets mispronounced, if you're a Republican, the left is constantly coming after you. You're racist. You won't say her name right. Do they say the same thing to her closest ally, Joe Biden, the president? She's the vice president. He can't even get it right.
And no one has more in her spine than the greatest.
Oh, just kidding.
I also want to thank Kamala for her leadership.
I'm sorry, who?
I also want to thank Kamala for her leadership. Also want to thank Kamala for her leadership.
Now, I think this is clearly racist. You know, he knows her name, but he's obviously he's got a mispronunciation of her name, mispronouncing it on purpose because he's a misogynist or a racist or something like that. That's what the left would say if that were Donald Trump saying.
Also want to thank Kamala for her leadership.
Kamala. Do we think that's intentional, Dan Dan, producer man? Do you think it's intentional or does he just not know what's going on around him?
Oh no! We should have levels to Joe Biden mistakes. This is a grade one.
This is a level one, 100%. This is not. We don't have to send off the sirens or anything. This is just one of those things that happens every day, I would imagine.
Yeah, run of the mill. You know, typical error. We just move on with things. But it's fun for the content.
Always. Now he did have a little fun with Nancy Pelosi yesterday, introducing her in this way.
And no one has more in her spine. And then the greatest speaker in the history of this country, Nancy Pelosi.
I don't know what's in her spine, but there's something in there. So a little trouble with the introductions yesterday at the White House, but it was Jill Biden who decided to give a weather report. She was caught on camera, of course, blaming a wild winter on global warming.
Well, it's been really warm because of global warming in the United States. So
it's a strange winter.
Yeah, it is.
It didn't get cold right away. It was pretty mild for most of the winter, and then it got really cold.
Yeah, it's definitely, definitely not a weather pattern. Oh, no, this is definitely global warming if you're listening to Jill Biden. Now, probably much more serious than all of this nonsense, all of this stuff we're laughing at with the Biden family. The White House responded to the meeting this week between China's Xi Jinping and Russia's Vladimir Putin. I think it's probably one of the most serious things that happened this week, having the two of them on the world stage, you know, meeting and yucking it up. And you know that China is supporting Russia in their fight against Ukraine. You know that China is trying to ace out the United States in matters of foreign affairs. They found themselves negotiating deals in the Middle East, which was usually reserved for the United States. John Kirby, who is a spokesperson, the best spokesperson that the White House has, had this to say about why a meeting between China and Russia was a good thing, if you can believe it. Take a listen.
I think, first of all, calling this an alliance is a bit of a stretch. I've referred to it as a marriage of convenience, certainly not one of affection. President Xi sees in President Putin a useful foil and a counterweight to American influence, particularly in Europe. President Putin sees in President Xi perhaps a bankroll and an opportunity to get more assistance so that he can continue to prop up his economy and to fight this war. They're working together because they believe that they need each other for very discreet, not necessarily completely overlapping goals. We're not looking here for a world divided by blocks, but I think one thing you need to consider as you consider this visit to Moscow by President Xi is that it's also a manifestation of how much China and Russia know that American leadership on the world stage is back, and how much they recognize that our network of alliances and partnerships is stronger than any network they might have. These are two countries with not a lot of friends, and that network is getting stronger and more influential around the world. Look at NATO, for instance, how much more relevant and viable NATO is, and now it's going to grow by another two nations. All that's a manifestation of the leadership of this administration and the proof that American leadership on the world stage is, in fact, increasing.
If you have listened to this program for any length of time, you have probably heard me say how this administration, the Biden administration, is so guilty of gaslighting the entire country. They do it over and over and over again. They tell you a truth, even though you are feeling quite the opposite. They tell you what they think is their truth. Remember when you had Alejandro Mayorkas say that the border was under control, that they had operational control of the border, yet we could see that the border was out of control? That is gaslighting. The economy, Biden saying that inflation didn't go up at all. What he was referring to was month to month. It went up like 9 percentage points under him. We know that. That is gaslighting. And now you have another example of this happening in the Biden White House again, where you have President Xi from China and Vladimir Putin from Russia coming together as adversaries of the United States. And John Kirby is calling this a marriage and proof that they know American leadership is back. Are you kidding me? 855-785-8255. We should be ashamed of ourselves for allowing this to happen. The goal of Trump's administration was to put a wedge between China and Russia to make sure that we kept our fingerprints, even without getting involved militarily, but that we kept our fingerprints on these different areas of the world to make sure that we wouldn't have our adversaries rise up together. And in 2.5 years, this administration has allowed just that, and they're so proud about it that they're going to actually rub it in our faces publicly in the meeting they had this week. 855-785-8255, 855-785-8255. Pretty unbelievable. But we will ask. This will be one of the topics of discussion, no doubt. Our evening with Larry Elder is next Wednesday, guys. If you don't have your tickets yet, you have got to come. We've got light appetizers for you, free parking, Embassy Suites in Glendale is the place. There will be a Q&A, a book signing, and this will be Larry Elder's, really, his last stop before he decides whether or not to put his hat in the ring to become president of the United States in 2024. And we are going to go through all of his positions on foreign policy, domestic policy, social issues, and just how he is going to run in a race that is populated already by Donald Trump and probably soon Ron DeSantis. It is going to be a lot of fun. We want to see you there. And by the way, right now, veterans, you save 25 bucks for yourself. Excuse me, not 25 bucks, 25% for yourself and your group up to 4 tickets. So if you are a vet, you get a 25% discount. All of you, come on out and see us next week. It is Wednesday in Glendale at the Embassy Suites Hotel. All you have to do is go to am870theanswer.com. am870theanswer.com. Get your tickets right now. am870theanswer.com. As we continue airstrikes overnight, a little tit for tat. We'll tell you who the players are as your Friday Morning Answer continues.
More ladylike than Cinderella, more manly than Sasquatch. Back to Grant Stinchfield and Jennifer Horn on The Morning Answer.
Oh, that is the voice of Dr. Sebastian Gorka. He hosts America First, which you can listen to, and you should, today at 12 noon on AM 870, 8 p.m. AM 590, The Answer. And by the way, he will be attending our Unite IE Conservative Conference, which happens April 29th, am590.info for all of your tickets. And it's The Morning Answer. Friday, we're excited, 1 hour away from our official start to the weekend here on The Morning Answer. That's our world-famous Friday free-for-all. Make sure you are there. Your thoughts, unscreen for content, complain, compliment, comment. Tell us a joke. The floor is yours. It's like radio, Twitter. You got to keep it clean, keep it pithy, and keep it moving. That's what we say. So they'll tell you when to call. That's an hour from right now. But in the meantime,
The Answer. Breaking news.
Things are heating up, and they've been heating up all morning long. If you woke up this morning, you may have heard that the United States military base near the oil fields in Syria was hit by a suicide drone attack. Essentially, it killed an American contractor. It injured several other service members. The United States, Lloyd Austin, confirming that we hit back. Joe Biden giving the okay to hit back against this group that they believed was responsible for the attack. Our airstrike killed about 11 members of the Iran Republican Guard. The attacks then continued, and now we are in this tit-for-tat situation right now in Syria with missiles flying. Iran proxy forces launching just a few moments ago about 7 rockets targeting a U.S. base. This is all in northeast Syria that we're talking about, the retaliation for the U.S.'s counterattack, their retaliation. So it's retaliation for retaliation, essentially. In first assessments, no casualties and no damage to the base near the Al Omar oil field. The rocket attacks came after President Biden ordered a series of retaliatory strikes in response to suspected Iranian-made drones that killed a U.S. contractor, wounded 6 other Americans. Late Thursday evening, now coming into Friday morning, the U.S. strikes, the updated number now killing 8 Iranians. The Defense Department said that Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps crashed a UAV into a building near the airbase at approximately 1:38 local time, leaving the U.S. contractor dead. The attack also wounding U.S. service members and another U.S. contractor. According to the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights and Opposition War Monitor, 2 of the American strikes killed at least 8 Iranian fighters. The Daily Mail had the number at 11, but we'll see how that plays out. A U.S. airstrike at an arms depot in the area left 6 Iranian-backed fighters dead. A second U.S. bombing at a post near a town in Mayadin killed another 2 fighters, according to the observatory. U.S. intel assessed the UAV that crashed into a coalition base killed the U.S. contractor was of Iranian origin. So that is why Biden authorized the strike. And this was all under the direction of Lloyd Austin. So we'll keep an eye on that story, but it has started to heat up a bit. Again, attack for attack for attack right now in Syria. That is going on. But here at home, it is worth pointing out people doing interesting and brave things, right? A person named Kofi Montezica, I believe is how we say the name, is one of the parents who have gone viral on the internet in which they offer criticism of officials in school board meetings. This woman, Coffee Montezica, is a Minnesota attorney. She's a mother of three boys. She is a Black woman, and she has done more than just speak out against critical race theory and some of this crazy curriculum being pushed on our kids. She's actually become an ambassador. A Minnesota-based nonprofit called Take Charge said that she has become an ambassador for critical race theory in schools. And she says that it's actually targeting Black Americans because it is racist. If you missed some of her videos, take a listen to this.
This is not what you typically think of as ethnic studies. You think you're going to learn about the beauty of different ethnicities, and it's going to provide inspiration. And somehow, when we learn about each other's differences, it brings us together, and we learn about our common humanity. But that is not what this is. And I know I probably should not read, but I want people to hear the specifics of this bill. I don't want to just talk in generalities. They talk about how we're stratified by race, and that race is connected to your place in society like a caste system. They talk about, and they actually have the definition of anti-racism, which is actually racism. And they talk about how they want to redistribute power and resources among racial groups, which we all know means take from the white and give to people of color. They're not going to take from Nigerians and Asians who typically make more than whites and give to other groups. They talk about the definition of institutional racism and how it chronically favors whites and harms the poor. And one of their other definitions says that kids of color have been erased and harmed by the schools. All this does is group kids and pit them against each other. And what we need is for kids to become friends, to visit each other's homes, eat each other's foods. That is how kids learn about each other's cultures. And with this bill, it's gonna pit kids against each other.
Isn't that true? Maybe as a kid of the 80s and 90s, I'm biased because we were taught to blend together, that we were all part of the melting pot. But those days are gone. They want everybody separated. They want everybody on teams. And they're going to tell you what you can achieve based on how you look, on your skin, on the outside.
I don't know. I'd like to presume the best of people and that they really think it's going to bring people together. But just logically, I don't see how you can think teaching kids in kindergarten that their skin color is the most important thing about them and telling all kids of color that white people are trying to take from them and have more power from them. I don't think that creates unity. And I think some people get some sort of power from being a victim and they want to teach kids the same thing.
Pretty incredible. That's Coffee Montezica, who is now calling herself an ambassador, standing up for kids, standing up for parents and saying enough is enough. No more separation. Let people learn from each other. Don't group people by their skin color. It seems very common sense, but not if you are in public schools across this country right now. And our kids are getting harmed by the minute. 855-785-8255. As we continue, we'll be joined by our friend Congressman Mike Garcia is here. And just what has he been arguing with the Biden administration about? A budget line item very important to our security. The details after we check the roads and your headlines. Larry Marino standing by as your Friday Morning Answer continues.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.